Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. Thank you for being a part of the program. Episode number 79 today. So much to talk about. And I think the title of today's show really says it all. It's taken from a speech that Pope Benedict Emeritus XVI gave in the year 2008 with the theme of Christian unity. We are in need of unity in healing and mercy in our homes, also in the secrecy of our hearts between us and God. And clearly, in the United States, as we are a family of citizens. So that's what we're going to focus on today, the phrase, ut hominis unum sint, ut mundus credat quia tu me mestici, which means that all should be one, as you, Father, are one with me and I with you. In that way, may they all be one, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Sometimes easier said than done, but in the aftermath of an election, things are a little bit still uneasy, so we're going to discuss that. Father Nathan Crownley going to be our beamed in Obi-Wan Kenobi with another Padre in your pocket, a great website also to inspire you, and the conclusion of the Year of Mercy. It's upon us already. I can't believe it, but this Sunday is going to end the year, the Jubilee Year of Mercy, as declared by Pope Francis last year. Sunday, November 20th is the last day, and then Holy Father will close the holy doors in St. Peter's Basilica. All the other doors around the world are now closed that were open, closed as of November 13th. So we'll talk about that, a look back, a look forward, and what to expect this Sunday. It's really neat to see the centuries of tradition and beauty that are incorporated in this rite, so I'll break it down a little bit for you as well. For now, let's get her done. So my southern mother-in-law is here visiting this week, so I may break into a few y'alls and get her dones during this particular episode, so let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, loving God, help us live out in our daily lives the mercy which you constantly extend to each one of us. As you cast open the doors of your heart to us, may we respond with urgency to proclaim mercy to others in our homes, in our nation. May we always be credible witnesses to mercy, professing and living as the core of the revelation of Jesus Christ. May we never tire of extending mercy and ever be patient, offering compassion and comfort. May we become the voice of every man and woman and repeat confidently without end, be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Amen.
Let's set the world on fire. Let's raise his banner higher. Let's set a broken world ablaze. Whoa. Let's hear a generation proclaiming his salvation with every breath and in this praise. And set the world ablaze.
Love it, love it. Does anyone else think of the song Paint It Black? That melody, just a little bit, if you listen to the song all the way through, it reminds me just slightly reminiscent of Paint It Black, but I love it. Whatever it is, it's great. Courtesy of my friend Ben Walther, that song is called Ablaze. Also the name of his new album, this past Tuesday, Election Day 2016. If you heard in episode number 78, you already knew about this. He hosted Adore. It's a ministry that's focused on music, a message, and then the finale, the finish, which is the Eucharistic adoration. So Ben and his wife Maria, they brought this ministry from Texas, planted another version here where we are in the Canton area, and that was on election night. So I was blessed to be able to go and speak. I brought my friend, she spoke, and on an evening where there were so many unknowns, that I think was a gift beyond what I could have ever anticipated for my heart and soul. And I had to work in the newsroom. And that day I was working in the newsroom all day. I started at 10, I left at 6 without really having any idea of what was going to unfold in the coming hours. It was a late night. And for me, in the daytime, it was a little bit slow. Everybody was waiting, everybody was on edge, but there wasn't much to report at that time. So when things were really going to be heating up, we were going to be at Eucharistic adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. And what a gift that was. I had invited my friend, Pastor Linda Isaiah. You know about her. If you've heard the show, you know she'll be at Arise. She's been on the podcast before, but wanted her to talk a little bit about peace and unity and mercy and faith. And boy, did she do it. She was fantastic. And the best way that I can describe it was almost like being on top of Mount Tabor in the Transfiguration, where you are suspended in time. We did not know what was going to be happening, and we stepped outside of time and space to just be before the Lord and converse with Him and see Him in all His dazzling glory, and then go back down from the mountain and back into our regular lives. And it's interesting because I spoke to Linda. We've had some very great, candid discussions. She is an African-American woman who is 60, who is raising a son, who has been through a lot and has a lot of different issues than my issues. But yet we've come together as women of faith to be able to talk about these things. And we both, this was her first experience ever attending Eucharistic Adoration. And I was so giddy because I knew I had a responsibility to explain what it was, to share the beauty of what comes forth in the graces of the Eucharist. She was there with her husband. And although we live in different places, I don't even know if we voted for the same person, we did the same thing. We both got home, spent time taking a big exhale, going to bed, and not watching the news, because the Lord had given us the peace that He is in control and that we are citizens in the kingdom of God. And to be honest with you, when I woke up and heard the news, I was shocked. I did not expect that Donald Trump was going to win. And I had such peace about it. And if you're on Facebook, maybe you had a chance to catch a little bit of a door. We were able to set up a Facebook Live on the Good Things Radio page. So a few hundred of you took the time, you popped in, you were a part of the evening remotely. And the audio, yes, left a lot to be desired. The quality was not great. I had ordered a lapel mic. It didn't arrive in time. But I think aside from that, because it was real echoey in the church, it was a beautiful evening. And I also had, I was going to record my talk and let that be the next podcast episode for this week. That didn't happen either because I was at work, had asked the family, hey, could you bring my recorder? They forgot. No problem, because no blame on anyone here, because it was tough to just get out the door. But one of the things that I wanted to share with you, just kind of give you a sneak peek about, was the end of my talk, because I wrote it truly not knowing who would win the election or what was to come, which I thank God for, because He opened up this completely clean, wide window of eternal truths that remain no matter what century or country or government that we happen to be a part of. So I just wanted to take you into a little bit of the talk. St. Augustine knew that when he gave himself to Christ, it would mean a totally new life. He once described his daily life in the following terms. So now think about our daily lives, our planners, our checklists. His daily life plan was this: the turbulent have to be corrected, the faint-hearted cheered up, the weak supported, the gospel's opponents need to be refuted, its enemies guarded against, the unlearned need to be taught, the indolent stirred up, the argumentative checked, the proud must be put in their place, the desperate set on their feet, those engaged in quarrels reconciled, the needy have to be helped, the oppressed to be liberated, the good to be encouraged, the bad to be tolerated, all must be loved. His mission was to transmit hope. In 1979, St. John Paul II returned to his motherland of Poland as a communist nation. This is a part of our story today. It is part of how we were led there to Częstochowa and our daughter, Karolina. And it was hearing this story of how his first papal visit back to his motherland was able to usher in a new era of freedom and the fall of communism without any bloodshed whatsoever. When he came into that country in 1979, crosses had been covered, religion was suppressed. The rich Catholic tradition that had been burned into the hearts of the people of Poland had been stifled, but not snuffed out, but they were oppressed under a communist regime. So it was here that John Paul II defeated communism with the power of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. So this was a portion of his homily at Victory Square in Warsaw. He said, "Let us go together, pilgrims, to the Lord's cross. With it begins a new era in human history. This is the time of grace, the time of salvation. Through the cross, man has been able to understand the meaning of his own destiny, the meaning of his life on earth. Even if times change, even if what was once countryside has given way to the emergence of a huge industrial complex, even if we're living in an age of dizzy advances in the natural sciences and equally amazing advances in technology, nevertheless, the truth about the life of the human spirit, which is expressed by means of the cross, knows no decline, is always relevant, and never grows old. Where the cross is raised, there is the sign that evangelization has begun. Once our fathers raised the cross in various places in the land of Poland as a sign that the gospel had arrived there. And earlier this summer, going to Italy and seeing on the highest mountaintops the cross, it really brought me back to that. And we can raise the cross as a sign of our missionary evangelization in our homes, in our communities, in our schools, in the places where we live and move and breathe that Christ has conquered. He finished by saying, "Let your spirit descend. Let your spirit descend and renew the face of the earth and renew the face of this land." Amen. And now here we sit. I feel like all of us, I was going to say many, but I feel like pretty much all of us feeling battle weary in some way or another. When I was working on Tuesday, the day of the election, I read that unofficially, it has been 2 years since this journey began of the election. Officially, maybe a year and a half, but 2 years where there was rumblings and conversations and back and forth. And whether we're nursing wounds from taking friendly fire from our own friends and family that we sparred with due to moral convictions, or even just an innocent bystander that hasn't even entered into the fray of discussion, I still feel like witnessing so much derision absolutely affects the spirit. So I think the question now that we've turned the page, we have started a new chapter, is how do we process it in a holy way and in a way that shines a light on Christ and fosters growth in our spirit, shows the world what mercy looks like? Because it is easy to have our souls shrivel in the face of personal attacks, very hurtful back and forth rhetoric, but we want to expand our spirits and to grow. Well, Father Nathan has some, as always, wonderful words of wisdom in how to do that. Here's another Padre in your pocket.
Padre in your pocket. On good things, great deal.
This is Father Nathan here with another Padre in your pocket. Post-election, what are we to do? I know that some of you listening are in dismay and others who are listening are in jubilation over what's happened at the election. And I suppose that that's the way it would be in any result. No matter who wins, there's always going to be a split in the country. And there is, as there is in this one. It certainly isn't anything new historically. This is something that's happened after just about every election. And yet, for some reason, for us today as Catholics, this split is especially difficult because it seems to be also within us in the church. I want to remind everybody of a very simple biblical principle. It's this: our citizenship is in heaven. It's the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Our citizenship is in heaven. If we display the American flag in our churches, it's because, in fact, our heavenly citizenship impels us to be citizens here on the earth. But first of all, before we're citizens of the earth, and more than we're citizens of the earth, we are citizens of heaven. Our citizenship, our conversation, our dealings, they're in the heavenly realms. And therefore, yes, we have a lot at stake and we are fully engaged in the political realities around us. But we have to be grounded in something deeper than those in order to be a source of unity where politics divides. We as Catholics must not be partisan. Now, what does that mean? It means that we stand for values and we stand for you know, positions. We stand for the truth of Christ. And therefore, yes, we back this or that candidate, but we never back them as if they were the answer. And so when our candidate doesn't win, it's not as if all hope is lost. And when our candidate does win, it's not as if suddenly Jesus has come, because in fact, Jesus hasn't come and we're waiting for him to come. And that's the real focus of our lives. And so as we look at our this situation, let's at least rejoice that this election cycle is over, because I don't think anyone really enjoyed what we went through and what we saw. And let's start afresh from Christ. And if you're upset or worried, You need to go to Jesus. There's no other answer, ladies. There's no other foundation. There's no other strength. You need to go to Jesus. And if you're jubilant and so happy, you also need to go to Jesus, because all of us need to recognize and remember that he is the true king of the universe and true king of our country. And therefore, yes, become engaged, get out there, be the change that Jesus is calling us to be. But following the waves of the culture and following the fighting and the backbiting and the upsetness and the jealousy and the rage and all of that stuff, we have to be beyond that, ladies, at the same time. Come on. Because, I mean, we are not citizens of America as if this was the destiny of our entire lives. We have been born again in Jesus Christ, and that's where we talk to America from. That's the place we talk to America from. And so consequently, yes, ups and downs can happen, and but whatever it is, let's be first of all from Christ Jesus. He's our peace, and that's the light that the gospel gives us. God bless you.
In the book of John, chapter 18, Jesus is before Pilate. Pilate is questioning Jeshua ben Joseph, Jesus, son of Joseph. And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now, my kingdom is not of this realm." "Then are you a king?" Pilate said. "You say that I am a king," Jesus answered. "For this reason I was born and have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." May we continue to listen to our leader's voice as faithful servants. Thank you so much for that reminder, Father Nathan. And at the top of the show, I shared the theme of this episode, which really goes back to what Father Nathan just talked about. That is that we are one in him. We are citizens of heaven. And the title of the show, All That Should Be One, comes from a really beautiful document that was written by Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. He says this: "Christ's command, Mandatum Novum, and his prayer for unity." And it's a long prayer in Latin, which I would try, but I'm just not going to. I've said enough Latin for today. But it's John 17:21. He said, reverberates in our minds. Charity will help Christians to foster the thirst for full communion in truth. And the Latin basically is all that we may be one. And by meekly following the Holy Spirit's inspirations, we may look forward to reaching the hoped for unity on the day chosen by the Lord. We are living the days of Advent that prepare us for Christ's birth. May this season of watchful expectation keep awake within us hope for the fulfillment of God's kingdom, of the Basilia tu Theou, which means kingdom of God. And Mary, Mother of the Church, accompany and guide us on the less and easy journey toward unity. I love that he put that in there. But also, because it was delivered during Advent, we are very closely approaching that liturgical season. Just a thought as we go forward and into the weeks ahead.
Years ago, before the East Germans began rebuilding their churches, they erected a secular structure, the television tower at Alexanderplatz. Virtually ever since, the authorities have been working to correct what they view as the tower's one major flaw: treating the glass sphere at the top with paints and chemicals of every kind. Yet even today, when the sun strikes that sphere that towers over all Berlin, the light makes the sign of the cross.
Well, we know that voice. President Ronald Reagan in the famous Mr. Gorbachev Take Down That Wall speech at Brandenburg Gate, delivered in 1987. But isn't that a beautiful bookend to what Pope John Paul II said about the cross? When the cross is raised, evangelization has begun. So I really zeroed in on that particular part of the speech. I love it, that we may walk forward wearing the sign of the cross around our neck, making that holy gesture and etching it in our hearts where God comes to evangelize as missionary. And I shared that particular speech with you because it just happens to be one of hundreds available at one of my favorite websites of all time. And I've really been spending a lot over the last week of time on this website, just in putting my speech together, feeling like I needed to be inspired again. And I'm telling you this because I love you. It's one of my trade secrets. I've used this website for years, but especially if you're a homeschooling parent, because there is no end to the depth of wisdom. And we need this kind of rhetoric again that builds up, that elevates and inspires, as opposed to tearing down and dividing. And the website is called AmericanRhetoric.com.
all of the American classics are there. In our family, we're planning to explore the website. We have over the years before, but our landing time, it seems now that the time has changed, we have more darkness. We need more to do that has substance. So for us, that's inspiration. And I, like I said, I really needed to be reminded of that, who we are as a people, what we're capable of individually and also together. And the thing is you really don't have to look for a separate speech to weave in faith, because almost all of these touch on elements of faith and virtue. And that's what I love about it. And that's the America that I know and love and want to impart to my children. So AmericanRhetoric.com is the website. And finally, the Jubilee Year of Mercy is coming to a close. So I mean, for me, for each one of us, it's a different experience. Personally, it was very much an eye-opener, a heart expander. So thank you to the Holy Father, to the Holy Spirit, for the gift of this past year. And so I was looking up a few things about the rituals behind it, because I just figured that was it. They closed the door and the holy year is done. But there's actually very specific traditions that go into it. So I wanted to share what I learned. So first of all, yes, the closing of the holy door happens in two stages. It's not just close her up, lock the door. It's actually very specific. The first is the true closing rite itself. And the second is walling up the holy doors in all four basilicas in Rome a few weeks later. So the rite in St. Peter's consists of the Pope arriving at the holy door. He will then go up the stairs in silence and kneel in the doorway to pray. Once he gets up, Pope Francis will close the two side doors of the door, and he will then descend in front of the closed door. Then there will be an exclamation in song that will go up through to the procession to the altar. Pope Francis will preside over the Mass in St. Peter's Square. Then in all four papal basilicas in Rome, the rite also consists of parchment. So they write the date of the official opening and of the official closing of the door, as well as signatures of all who are present. Isn't that amazing? So it will just be on record for centuries. The rite also includes placing coins in an urn, a gold one for the Pope, four silver coins for each year of the Pope's pontificate, and 15 bronze coins for each year since the last Jubilee, as well as placing the parchment in itself. Then there will be the walling of the urn in the wall of the holy door. Isn't that something? And the reading, I pounded the table, and the reading of the deed, I'm turning into my mother, certifying the masonry. On the bricks walled in the doorway, there is an inscription in Latin with the Pope's name or the delegated cardinal who closed the door in the year of Jubilee. So there you have it. Pretty neat, huh? It's not just like a, here we go, we're going to do this thing, but really rooted in centuries of tradition and scripture and a torch of faith passed down. So pretty neat to know that we're all a part of that.
It's Brooks.
House.
Well, come on in. We started to pile up the Duraflames and fire up the fireplace every night. We did chop wood and then realized, you know, the Duraflames are so much easier. So now we get that almost every night. Now we light one of those up. And then my mother-in-law is visiting. She's playing words with friends. She's wearing shorts, all kind of places. Even in Ohio, it's like 50 degrees. But she is from Georgia and then now Florida. They've lived for several years. And she loves it. She said she needs a break from the heat. And so we're living it up in shorts and the fireplace. That's pretty much our house. But also, top of mind is my book. My manuscript is due in just weeks. December 1st is the date. So something, if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you know that I've been working on since May. It's been my full-time job, really taken me deep into the onion layers of my life and spirit in ways that I didn't even know was possible. So it really is like a baby. And now this is the labor. It has been challenging because my editor kind of, it to me reminds me of a puzzle. So you've got all the pieces and when they're all in place, it makes a picture. Well, she kind of has taken all the different things in the 10 chapters that I've written and moved them around. So now I kind of have things in my mind all out of order, and I have to try to somehow fit everything back in the order that she's delegated, if that makes sense. So the way that my brain works, this is like wreaking havoc because all 10 chapters have to cohesively flow together, and they will and they are, but right now I'm freaking out because I can't see it. The whole puzzle has been dismantled in my mind, and I somehow, with different pieces, have to make the same picture, if that makes sense. So I am humbly just asking, coming before you for your prayers, for the Holy Spirit, for a sense of stamina and trust and confidence as we, and I say we because I know that it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit, it's a collaborative effort, but just working to prepare and submit the manuscript. Also within the next few weeks, with the journey to the Holy Land, the page is going to be up. I've been promising you this for weeks, if not months, but you're going to be able to find it at stgabrielmedia.com. I'm excited about that. I'm just working on getting it online. You can actually, if you want to go, just send me an email, feedback@goodthingsradio.com. You can sign up. I'm the one that's holding it up because between working and working on my manuscript and actually having six children in the house, including our foreign exchange student, and my mother-in-law and our dog, it has been hard to, you know, check off the priorities of things I need to do. But that is definitely up on the list. Also, a big thank you to Kit Kat Z, who left a review on iTunes about the podcast. She needs a ya-ya. Thank you, thank you. She writes this about Good Things Radio. She said, "This podcast has changed my life. I know it sounds like an overstatement, but it's not." She says, "After listening to Brooke for many years on The Fish, I was dismayed when she left. The beautiful faith she exudes was a bright light during my morning commute. I was thrilled to discover her podcast about 6 months ago and have been a faithful listener since. The inspiration she shares, her example as a Christian, a Catholic woman, a wife, mother, continues to be a light in my day. And in fact, this light is drawing me home to the Catholic faith. So you see, her podcast has changed my life. And now you're going to make me cry." I think that's got to be Catherine that shared that. Catherine, a regular listener, a Podbean patron, and is now in RCIA. Thanks be to God. And thank you for your review. God bless you. To God be the glory. But that is a big way that you could help out the program. Please consider leaving a review on iTunes if you haven't already. It might seem like a little thing, not a big deal, but it's actually a huge boost because, number one, it tells iTunes this podcast is worthy of a listen. And when others see your review, it carries a lot of weight. I have to say, if I am on a website and I'm not sure if I want a pair of pants and someone says these are the best pants I've ever owned, it carries a lot of weight. Or these pants are terrible. I believe that even though I don't know the person, because they've taken the time to sit down, fill out how many stars, share their thoughts about it. And I really do appreciate that. So hopefully it'll be a good review, but please consider leaving a review. Also, would you consider being a Podbean patron? I am so grateful to each and every one of our good friends of Good Things Radio who has supported the podcast in this way. It has allowed us to stay here and continue and be faithful in our Monday updates of the podcast. And the way it works is you just go to podbean.com, look for Good Things Radio, and click on the crowdfunding campaign. You can donate $1 a month, up to $20 or more. There's actually no minimum and there's no maximum, and you can cancel at any time, although I hope you won't. But consider that, would you? Thank you to each and every one of our Podbean patrons. Don't forget about the Arise Retreat. That's another matter of housekeeping. We have been selling a few more tickets and we've only got, I think, like 13 tickets left. And I know a lot of people who continue to reach out, ask questions, think about it. And with Christmas coming up, and I'll probably say this every week until Christmas, I think it's a great idea to consider because you can't ask for a better gift than a weekend away, kind of a honeymoon hideaway with the Lord. And that's what this weekend's about. Plus, you go away with some new great friends as well. If you'd be so kind, feedback@goodthingsradio.com is how you can reach out. Share your input, thoughts about the show. Voxer is another great way. My favorite thing is when I get a Voxer from a listener. You can do that. Just find me, download the app. It's a free app on Voxer, Brooke Taylor, the number one. Easy as that. And thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studios for his dynamic skills and quick work. He is a producer extraordinaire, wears many hats. So to find out more, reach him at cominghomestudios.com. Until next time, friends, may we all be one as we seek to enter the kingdom of heaven, united in his mercy. God bless you.